Welcome back to Condor Currents, the podcast that flows through the latest in computer architecture research and RISC-V innovation. I'm Ty Garibay, president of Condor Computing, and today we've got a fantastic lineup for you. This episode is brought to you by Condor Computing, high-performance RISC-V processor IP from Andes Technology, the world's leading RISC. Five processor IP provider with 30% market share and over 12 billion SoCs shipped. Learn more at condorcomputing.com. Today, we're diving into two really compelling archive papers, one about how we serve multiple large language models efficiently when GPU memory is tight, and another that gets down to the silicon level of running vision language models on a mobile SoC. Plus, we've got some exciting news from the RISC-V ecosystem, including a new mini PC, a big move from Spicemeet, and a great piece on why AI is shaking up processor architecture in ways that are putting RISC-V right in the spotlight. Let's get into it. All right. First up, we're looking at a paper called Crosspool: Efficient Multi-LLMs Serving for Cold MoE Models Through KV Cache and Weight Disaggregation, from Zhouren Ye, Tianyu Wo, Dinghao Xu, and colleagues. And I have to say, this one caught my eye immediately because it's tackling a problem that's becoming really real, really fast as we push more and more AI inference workloads onto server infrastructure. So let me set the scene. Imagine you're running a cloud service that hosts dozens of different large language model variants, maybe different fine-tuned versions, different specialized models, whatever. Most of them are what the paper calls cold. They're just sitting there waiting for requests, not seeing a ton of traffic, but you still have to keep them loaded in GPU memory, right? Because somebody might ask for that model at any moment, and you don't want latency spikes from loading it off disk. Now, here's where it gets interesting. A lot of these models are what's called mixture of experts, or MoE architectures. The key idea with MoE is that instead of activating every parameter in the network for every token, you route computation through a small subset of expert subnetworks. It's like a big office building where instead of turning on every light in the whole building, you only light up the offices where people are actually working. Very efficient in theory, but it creates this interesting memory pressure problem. You've got two fundamentally different kinds of data sitting in GPU memory. First, you've got the model weights themselves, the actual parameters that define what the model knows and how it thinks. These are stable. They don't change during inference. Once you load a model, those weights just sit there. Second, you've got the KV cache, K for key, V for value, which is the intermediate state generated as the model processes a conversation. This is transient. It grows and shrinks based on how many users are actively talking to that model right now. Think of it like a restaurant: the kitchen equipment, the stoves, the ovens, the knives. That's your model weights. It's always there, but the number of dishes on the pass, the active orders in flight, that's your KV cache. It fluctuates wildly depending on how busy the restaurant is. The naive approach is to give every model its own dedicated memory partition, big enough to handle worst case demand. But here's the thing: cold models, by definition, almost never hit peak demand. So you're reserving a ton of memory for a scenario that almost never happens. That's enormously wasteful. What Crosspool proposes is disaggregating those two types of memory. Rather than bundling model weights and KV cache together in a fixed per model allocation, you put the KV cache into a shared pool that all models draw from. Since cold models don't all spike simultaneously, and statistically they really don't, the aggregate active KV cache demand at any given moment is much smaller than the sum of all the per model worst case allocations. You get much better memory utilization without sacrificing availability. But here's the really clever part, and why they didn't stop at just pooling the KV cache. MoE models have this additional challenge. The expert weights themselves are sparse activations. Different requests route through different experts. So if you're trying to share KV cache across models on different GPUs, you also need to think about where the model weights are physically located, because moving data across GPU interconnects is expensive. Crosspool co-designs the weight placement and the KV cache pooling together, which is a genuinely elegant systems insight from a computer architecture perspective. This is a beautiful example of the classic insight that static worst case provisioning almost always loses to dynamic sharing when workloads are statistically independent. We see this everywhere in processor design, from cache allocation to register files to memory bandwidth arbitration. The trick is always identifying which resources have correlated demand and which don't, and structuring your sharing accordingly. Crosspool applies that insight at the infrastructure level. Really solid work, and check the show notes for the link. Okay, moving on to our second paper. And this one is near and dear to my heart as someone who thinks about processors and silicon every single day. The paper is Phase Matters: Characterizing Heterogeneous Vision Language Inference on a Mobile SoC, from Aryama V. Murthy, Yashas N. Khatre, Prathamesh Sharma and colleagues. So context, we are in this fascinating moment where the industry is actively pushing large multimodal AI models, models that can understand both images and text together onto mobile phones, not running in the cloud and streaming results back, actually running on the device on your phone's processor. And the question this paper asks is, how do we actually do that well? They specifically look at the Qualcomm Snapdragon 8 Elite, which is Qualcomm's latest flagship mobile SoC. And if you're not familiar with what a modern mobile SoC looks like, it is wild. You've got multiple CPU clusters running different core sizes, you've got a GPU, and crucially, you've got what's called an NPU, a neural processing unit, which is dedicated silicon for accelerating machine learning operations. It's a heterogeneous compute landscape. Different engines, different memory hierarchies, different power characteristics, all on one chip. Now, running a vision language model isn't one monolithic thing. It has distinct phases. First, you've got the vision encoder phase, minus one processing the image, turning pixels into a representation the language model can work with. Then you've got the pre-fill phase where the model ingests the full prompt, including those visual tokens. Then you've got the decode phase where it generates the response token by token. These phases have very different computational characteristics. They're like different legs of a race. One might be a sprint, another a marathon. What the authors do is really careful hardware in the loop characterization. They're not just running benchmarks and reporting numbers. They're measuring throughput per phase, looking at how cache state affects performance, running 100 iterations to characterize thermal behavior over time, measuring energy consumption, and systematically exploring how you map each phase across the CPU and NPU, and different combinations thereof. The thermal stability finding is particularly interesting from an architecture standpoint. When you run AI inference on a phone, you're asking a small device with limited cooling to sustain significant compute loads. Thermal throttling is real.
The chip will dynamically reduce clock frequencies to prevent overheating. So understanding how performance evolves over those 100 runs, does it degrade, does it stabilize, is genuinely important for anyone designing a product or a system that needs consistent latency. The visual token budget sensitivity analysis is also fascinating. Vision language models convert images into sequences of tokens, and the number of those tokens has a huge impact on computation, particularly in that pre-fill phase. More visual tokens means more to process before you even start generating. The paper shows how sensitive performance is to that budget, which directly informs how system designers should tune their image pre-processing pipelines. The heterogeneous mapping question, CPU versus NPU versus hybrid, is where this paper really shines for the architecture community. Not every phase benefits equally from the NPU. The NPU has high throughput, but may have overhead for certain operation types. The CPU is more flexible. Getting the phase to engine mapping right can make a substantial difference in both latency and energy.
And this is where I think about the work we do at Condor Computing and the broader RISC-V ecosystem, as RISC-V processors increasingly show up in mobile and edge AI contexts. And they absolutely are. This kind of phase-level characterization methodology is exactly the kind of guidance that will inform how RISC-V NPU and CPU designs should be balanced and integrated. And these technologies portfolio already spans a wide range of performance points, and understanding where in the inference pipeline your compute is actually spent is fundamental to making smart IP selection and integration decisions. Great paper, very practical. Check the show notes. All right, let's pivot to the news. And honestly, the RISC-V news has been popping lately. First story comes from EDN, the voice of the engineer, and the headline is, AI is stress testing processor architectures and RISC-V fits the moment. And I just want to say, yes, absolutely yes. This is something I feel in my bones every day running Condor Computing.
The article makes the argument that AI workloads are fundamentally different from traditional computing workloads in ways that are exposing the limitations of incumbent processor architectures. And RISC-V's open, extensible nature positions fit uniquely well to adapt. Think about what AI inference actually demands. You need enormous memory bandwidth to feed weight data to your compute units. You need highly parallel arithmetic, minus huge matrix multiplications. You often need lower precision arithmetic. Things like int8 or even int4 that traditional CPUs weren't designed to handle efficiently. And increasingly, you need specialized data flow patterns and on-chip memory hierarchies that just don't map well onto architectures designed decades ago for integer and floating point workloads. Traditional ISS, your x86, even your ARM and its standard configurations were designed around assumptions that AI is now violating. Adding AI extensions to those architectures is possible, but you're often fighting the base architecture while doing it. RISC-V's extensibility is the game changer here. The base ISA
is lean and clean. And the whole architecture was designed with custom extensions in mind.
Want to add a vector extension optimized for your specific neural network workloads? The framework is there. Want to add custom instructions for sparse matrix operations or for the kind of routing decisions that MoE models need? You can do that. The architecture invites customization rather than resisting it. And the ecosystem has matured enormously. When I started Condor Computing, the question was often, can you even build a production quality RISC-V processor? Now the question is, which RISC-V implementation best fits my specific AI workload? That's a fundamentally different and much more exciting conversation. Andy's technology shipping over 12 billion SoCs is part of that proof point. RISC-V is not experimental anymore. It is mainstream silicon. The article is a great read, link in the show notes. Next up, MilkV has announced the Jupiter 2, a mini PC built around the SpaceMIC K3 RISC-V processor, covered by Lilliputing.
And look, I love this story because it represents something really important. RISC-V showing up in form factors that regular people actually buy and use. The MilkV brand has been doing interesting work in the RISC-V mini PC space for a while now. They've built a community around accessible RISC-V hardware, and the Jupiter 2 continues that tradition. The SpaceMIC K3 is an interesting processor. SpaceMIC has been doing work on RISC-V with AI acceleration capabilities, which makes it particularly relevant given everything we've been talking about today. Why does a mini PC matter for the architecture community? A few reasons. First, it creates a real deployment target. When researchers and developers have affordable hardware in their hands, they can profile real workloads, find real bottlenecks, and drive real improvement in toolchains and software stacks. Second, it builds the ecosystem. Every developer who writes code targeting RISC-V hardware, every engineer who optimizes a library for RISC-V, strengthens the foundation that enterprise and server applications will eventually rely on. Think about how ARM
went from embedded processors to powering the world's phones to Apple building MACs with ARM silicon. That journey required years of ecosystem building, toolchain maturation, developer familiarity. Mini PCs and single board computers were a significant part of that story for ARM. And I think we're watching a similar chapter play out for RISC-V. The SpaceMIC K3's AI capabilities are also worth noting, having a desktop-class RISC-V chip with NPU integration in an accessible mini PC form factor means developers can start exploring on-device AI on RISC-V silicon right now. That's the kind of developer hardware that seeds the next generation of software innovation. Excited to see more of these products coming to market. And speaking of SpaceMIC, our third news story is a big one. South China Morning Post is reporting that SpaceMIC is launching a server-class RISC-V processor following a capital injection. This is a significant development, and I think it deserves some real attention. Server class is the key phrase here. There's been a lot of RISC-V activity at the embedded microcontroller and even mid-range application processor level.
But the server market is a different animal entirely. You're talking about sustained multi-core performance under heavy load, robust memory subsystems, RAS features minus reliability, availability, serviceability, minus enterprise-grade I/O, and the kind of software ecosystem that enterprise customers demand. It's a much higher bar. The fact that SpaceMIC is targeting this segment with fresh capital behind them is a strong signal that the RISC-V community is serious about competing in the data center. And given everything we've talked about today, AI workloads reshaping what server processors need to do, the flexibility of the RISC-V SA to adapt to those workloads, the timing actually makes a lot of sense. There's also a geopolitical dimension here that's worth acknowledging. China has significant strategic interest in developing domestic processor architectures and reducing dependence on Western chip technology. RISC-V, being an open standard not controlled by any single company or country, has become an attractive foundation for Chinese chip developers. SpaceMIC's capital injection and server ambitions fit into that broader picture.
For the global RISC-V ecosystem, competition in the server space is a good thing. It drives innovation, it creates more deployment targets, it strengthens the software and toolchain ecosystem. Seeing multiple players trying to crack the server class RISC-V problem, whether that's from Western companies, Asian companies, academic projects, that diversity is a feature, not a bug. From my perspective at Condor Computing, every time a credible RISC-V server processor ships, it validates the architecture and expands the market. Andy's Technologies processor IP is already finding its way into application processors and AI accelerators, and a more mature RISC-V server ecosystem creates opportunities across the board. I'll be watching SpaceMIC's server roadmap closely, and I'd encourage everyone listening to do the same. And that's a wrap on today's episode of Condor Currents. We covered a lot of ground today, from the clever systems level thinking in Crosspool about how to share GPU memory efficiently across cold MO models, to the really detailed hardware characterization work on running vision language models across heterogeneous mobile silicon. And on the news front, RISC-V is clearly having a moment, from accessible mini PCs to server ambitions to the growing recognition that the AI's extensibility is exactly what AI workloads need. Condor Currents, brought to you by Condor Computing, minus part of Andy's Technologies RISC-V processor IP portfolio. If you found today's episode valuable, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a review and share it with a colleague who geeks out on processor design as much as we do. Tomorrow, we're back with more architecture research and RISC-V news, so don't miss it. I'm Ty Garibay. Keep building.